hearts and minds are wrapped around the Christmas program and so forth. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is where we'll go today. Thank you for the music this morning. Appreciate it. I trust that your heart has already worshipped the Lord together this morning. It's been a blessing. We have a wonderful Savior, don't we? And that we can rejoice in Him is just a wonderful privilege and joy. This verse is a verse that, in fact, we've actually looked at a couple of times. A verse that ties in what we look at really, and maybe I can put it this way, the Christmas story, to a character that needs to be in our life. Christmas is often a season for, at least among believers, it should be a season for giving. A simple, direct response that Christ, God, gave Christ to us, His gift. God so loved the world that He gave, it's a part of God's wonderful character that He gives us. We theologically define it as grace. Getting something, in the simple form of the definition, we say getting something we don't deserve. Heaven is something we don't deserve, right? God's blessings is something we don't deserve. They're grace. They're given to us. They're gifts. The Greek language is beautiful. The word for gift and the word for grace are the same word. It's the exact same word. So the context, obviously, is sometimes we've split them up in the English language, but in the Greek, it's not the same word. What a wonderful help for us to understand. We were gifted salvation, right? I think I was a fairly young boy. I mean, I was saved as a young boy at the age of 6. Obviously, having heard the gospel plenty, mom and dad in the home and in the church and so forth. But as after I accepted Christ and was starting to grow, elementary school when it dawned on me, I've been given this amazing gift. I don't deserve it. I'm a bad little boy. And realizing that Christ had died for me and offers it, no strings attached, it's yours. You can have it. Just take it. All you have to do is take it. What an amazing thing. Now, Paul uses that to help us, and the specific application, if you remember, they've been collecting funds for the poor, the needy in Jerusalem. Several churches were doing it in the Asia and Europe area and wanting to help that church. We don't know all of the exact circumstances. God didn't want us necessarily to know about that. All we know is that the churches had been very much behind Paul encouraging it. He was kind of the spokesperson, the point person, what we'd call today, in trying to get this collection done to help the needs of the saints in Jerusalem, the believers in Jerusalem. And so a number of churches, Thessalonica, as I remember, Galatia, Philadelphia, Berea, those churches were gathering, and Corinth was one of them. Corinth, as you recall, was the first one that really kind of got on board. They got excited about it. It appears as though they had collected some funds, and then it looks like they kind of gotten tired of it or forgotten about it. Other things came up. Has that ever happened in your life? You have these plans to be a blessing or to be generous to someone or just to a good cause or to give more to the Lord and His work and ministry, and then things happen and you kind of neglect your commitment to the Lord. And that's really where Corinth is at in the midst of this passage here. And so Paul is again chiding them, saying, no, wait a second. You were an example to the churches at Thessalonica, at Berea, at Philippi, and now you need to show the proof that you're going to follow through on what you've promised the Lord. Let's do that. And so that's kind of the context of what's going on here. Let's begin reading in verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we'll walk through the passage. Really, let me do this. Let's read verse 9 first, all right? Because this is our tie-in, frankly, to this season, where we stop and worship Christ. For you know the grace, notice that word there, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Now this is, Paul is using this as an example, an illustration of the principles he's preaching. So with that, that's our tie-in. So we think of Christ coming to earth, His incarnation, when He took on the form of flesh, became one of us so that He could redeem us. We look at that tied in verse 9 here. He came, became one of us. He became poor. What an amazing description, a picture of Christmas, really. God, very God, becoming one of us. Born in a, well, born in a, put in a manger after he was born. Whether that was the wooden one that we often think of in the pictures that the artists put, or probably more than likely it was more of a concrete or stone one that was in the barn right beside the house. All right, remember we've talked about some of those pictures before. That probably happened that Joseph and Mary couldn't find accommodations, and so his family that was still in town said, well, we've still got the barn, and it's attached to the house. It'll be warm. You know, we'll clean it up for you, all right? Get the cow slobber out of the manger, all right? Put some nice bedding in there for baby Jesus. All of those things. And what an amazing picture of God becoming poor. And he did it because he loved us, all right? So there's the illustration. Now, back to verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. The idea is we want you to understand this. We want this to make known. We do you to wit of the, what's that word? There it is. There it is again. The grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, this is very interesting. So he's going to talk about something that God gifted them. What did he gift them? Verse 2. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. You see, the grace that was given them was this ability to give above and beyond what was expected and even fathomable. They were hurting. It was a time of affliction, a time of trial, a time of poverty. And yet they abounded in this gift to the poor saints of Jerusalem. He describes it on in verse 3. For to their power, or according to their means, would be another way to put that, I bear record, yea, and beyond their means, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Notice the heart attitude here, of themselves. Praying us, so they gave themselves, and they said, would you do this, Paul? Praying us, verse 4, with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift. That's the same word as the word grace. Right? So, can I kind of paint the picture for you here? God has encouraged their heart. In their heart, they realize we need to give because there's a desperate need for the saints, the poor saints in Jerusalem. And then Paul says, Corinthians, these folks were poor. They were hurting. They were in a time of affliction too. Remember, we've studied through 1 Thessalonians, and they were in a time of persecution. Believe me, when you get in some of those moments, you're in survival mode. And what do you do in survival mode? You know, you move your bank account over to the, not to the money market, I mean, you put it in the mattress. All right, does that make sense? You protect, you guard, because you don't know what tomorrow may bring. Some of our oldest saints here, you remember the Depression. My first father-in-law, we used to laugh. It was the family joke. If you opened the attic door, there was enough toilet paper and paper towel up there to last until kingdom come. Now, why did he do that? Because there was a day when you didn't have anything. And it was just that there was this sense of hoarding and protecting. And Paul is absolutely astounded, and it's obviously the grace of God working in these believers' hearts that they're willing in a time of desperation and a time of need to still have a heart to give. No wonder they had to pray Paul, verse 4, please take this. I could see Paul protesting. Wait a second, you're in a time of need. I'm sure the Lord will provide these funds for the poor saints in Jerusalem through some other means. And they said, Paul, no, please. We beg of you, please take our gifts. We want them to be used of you, by the Lord. I'm sorry, we want to be used of the Lord through you to help these poor saints. And so they begged him. What is that? That's God's grace working in and through their lives to give. Okay, so praying with much entreaty, verse 4, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship. Paul was entering into the same work, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. It was a priority, and unto us by the will of God. So their spiritual leaders had presented the need, and they said yes to it. And then Paul recognized, they're saying yes because their first priority, the most important thing of their heart was the Lord. And why wouldn't they give? Because God had given to them. The Lord was so working in their heart, they were taking on the very character of the Lord who had saved and redeemed them. And they were very generous, even in the midst of their poverty. So beyond what Paul had even hoped or thought, to get to the very mundane at times, or the very, in a sense, worldly level, when you're talking about fundraising, you generally don't go to the people that don't have money. You're not going to get anything. All right? Or to the people that are just eking it out, where many of us in many ways live. I mean, we're really rich in this country. But we have budgets. We're trying to work within our means, all those kinds of things. We don't have a lot of cash just on hand to spend however we want. All right? And that's where Thessalonica, Berea, Philippi were. And yet, beyond what Paul could even imagine, these folks gave and gave generously because the Lord was the ruler of their heart. And they were just doing what Christ had done for them. God's grace was being evidenced through them. So, verse 6, insomuch that we desire Titus that as he began, as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace. Now, unfortunately, the Corinthians, this grace that God had given them wasn't being demonstrated through their life. They'd had a great start. And then the world had gotten in the way. Their self-centeredness, their divisiveness, their knowledge. I think that may be where we park today for just a minute. So we come up with multiple reasons why we should not be generous. Sometimes it's the recipient. Well, they're not really worthy of that. I need to be careful, right? The treasurer isn't handling the money like he should around here. Those kinds of excuses. Sometimes we reason it away. Well, wait a second. I have these needs that I need to take care of. You know, my poor child, he hasn't had a new bike in 1 year. I'm exaggerating. Thank you for chuckling, okay? But we sometimes exaggerate wants into needs in our life, don't we? And that appears to be where Corinth was at. They weren't necessarily in a time of tragedy and deep poverty and affliction and persecution as Thessalonica, as Philippi, as Berea. And yet somehow their heart had become cold. Well, as we'd studied through 1 and 2 Corinthians, we discovered that they were carnal. They were living more for this world than they were for their Lord. Oh, they looked like Christians. They spoke like Christians. They had this wonderful knowledge that they were so tolerant in their church. But the reality was, unlike Thessalonica, Philippi, and Berea, they hadn't given their hearts to the Lord. Yes, He was their Savior. Yes, He had at one time been their Lord, but it's apparent that He wasn't now. Their heart had become cold to the Lord being ruler and reigner of their life. And so their character was one not of like Christ, but like the world's. That's the wonderful, simple description of carnality. You're more like the world than you are your Lord. And so Paul has to chide them. So he sends Titus, that's verse 6. Titus, would you please go? They need to be encouraged. They had started the example. Their heart was right at one time. Their heart was with the Lord. They had a passion to do the Lord's work, and now that it was lost. Therefore, verse 7, as ye abound in everything, and they had abounded in faith and utterance and knowledge, those had become key things for them, and under the Spirit's direction and work, those are good things. Trusting the Lord, being knowledgeable in the truth, that's the word faith. In utterance, they were able to speak and defend the truth of the Scriptures. In knowledge, they had grown and had been, it appears, even given, of course, the Scriptures weren't completed then, had been given more revelation through the work of the church there. And they had done it in all diligence. They had been faithful and dug in and been faithful in those things. And in your love to us, you had shown some demonstrated love, and obviously part of 2 Corinthians is that they rejoiced that they had actually heard Paul. He says, now listen. Though you've abounded in all things, please abound also in this grace. That's the end of verse 7. Be generous, people. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. You see, if generosity is a commandment, all of a sudden it's not generous, is it? It's a duty. Did you catch that? I want you to understand that. That's what Paul is saying in verse 8. I speak not by commandment. This is something that has to be motivated by a heart that loves the Lord and that comes from love, not duty. I trust that, married couples here today, I trust that you love your mate not out of duty, but out of love. That your relationship is built there. There's a heart of generosity. God is working your heart to love your mate. It's like, oh, I just have to put up with her. No, that's not love. Okay, that's duty. All right, that's duty. Now, duty is not a. I would rather you stay with your mate out of duty than be split up, be divorced. All right, that's against God's word. Make sense? But there's a higher calling than duty, and there's a lot more joy in love, is there not? And that's where Paul is coming to. They had demonstrated love to him. He says, now let's abound in this grace too. So no wonder he says in verse 8, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Why should I be a giver as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why should that be the character of my life? We're finally coming to the outline, okay? Why? Paul tried to stress very clearly, because I have been overflowed with the gifts of God. Really, verse 7 kind of gives that, and he says, you've overflowed with the gifts of faith, utterance, knowledge, even diligence would be considered a gift here. Even in your love towards Paul. Now he says, abound in this too. Be willing. If I can put it this way, it seems as though the sticking point, the sacrifice point for the Corinthians came in their monetary giving. They wanted to hang on to it. Sometimes it's really easy to love one another, isn't it? We have a lot of lovely people here. People that are easy to love and be a help and encouragement. Sometimes it's really easy to get excited about God's word. It's powerful. It's liberating. It helps us understand life better, and you come fired up and excited about God's word. We should. But sometimes it's really difficult to follow Christ's example when it comes to being generous, what God has given us, to share with others. In this season, at this time, let us not, as Christians, fail in our wonderful joy of being givers. Let us share what God has given to us. So, that sharing can, obviously, as this passage deals directly with financial giving, be willing to give. Let me encourage you, all right? As you give gifts this year, and is it appropriate and proper to give gifts? I say yes. We will find that they will. Revelations refers to it. It's very interesting. When the two witnesses die, Revelation 11, and the world rejoices. And what do? To rejoice, they give gifts to one another. That's mentioned there in Revelation. Now they're rejoicing over the wrong thing, and they are the stark reality when the two witnesses the third day rise again, right? And the reality of their coming judgment is told. Those gifts are worth nothing. But it is a human thing for us to give to one another in celebration of something else, like a third-party giving, all right? So there's nothing wrong with that. But let us not neglect, what can I do, can I put it this way, what can I do to gift, to give the grace of God that's given to me to someone else? Let it affect your pocketbook. How can I gift? I've had several opportunities in my own personal life this year come across to be able to gift already. Take my pocketbook, my checkbook, write some checks, or go online and use the credit card, all right? and gift to some critical ministries that we know about and are connected with, all those things, it's a joy. Do that. God has allowed us to abound in many, many things. Let us give. But that's not the only way to give. Can I trust, maybe encourage your heart? What happened last night, what Lord willing will happen tonight, is the giving of grace that has been given to us to others. God has gifted some people here. We have visitors walk in our door, and they are, I don't have to prime the pump. That choir is absolutely amazing. That's God's gift to us, right? And they are striving to give that gift of music and song that God has talented and given them to others, to communicate truth, to bring joy and blessing to our Lord through the music, which is a proper way of using music. That's a gift. Thank you, choir, by the way. And drama people, there were numerous comments. How you spoke clearly. They understood the word. When we added the... If you weren't here last night, I'm going to pop your bubble a little bit, or I give you the... What do you call it? What's that? Spoiler. Yeah, the spoiler alert. All right. There. Thank you. I'm Mr. Malaprop. All right, there we go. You know what a malaprop is? You twist a saying and make it mean something other than what the saying is supposed to mean when it's even... Anyways. Well, to put it in common terms, all right, my Norwegian comes out. I blame it on my mom. You know, your tongue gets wrapped around your eye tooth and you can't see what you're saying? Okay, all right. Back, anyway, sorry. Spoiler alert, all right, all the way back to that. Spoiler alert. When the scene of Anna and Simeon were added this year to our drama, and Carrie was working with it, and Nicole Harms was helping some of that, and we're putting it together, and I inserted a couple little extra things, then it's like, okay, that's nice, that's sweet. When we came to the dress rehearsal, was the first time I'd actually seen it in action. I'm thinking, this is the highlight of the whole story. All right, the exaltation of Jesus Christ, and they understand who He is and why He's come, and they're rejoicing. It's like Anna and Simeon actually knew God's word well enough, and they were rejoicing in God's grace. They couldn't get their eyes off of Jesus and off of God. All right, it's like, yes. And that communication comes through so clearly. Thank you, Sandy. Where's Sandy? People were chuckling as she comes down because she's just such a lovable person, all right? There's Sandy, all right? You communicate that well. And Simeon, it's just fun to watch Ron hold this little baby. He was getting instructions from Carrie, and I was just chuckling. I said, wait a second, he's a guy. He's going to hold the baby like a guy. Anyways, we'll have some fun with that tonight again. But what joy, that giving of gifts, that's one way we can give. So consider in your own life, how can I, with what God has given me, give it to somebody else? And by means of that, help that person that you're giving to see Christ. Know Christ. Of all people, Christians should have the most generous spirit. We've abounded in so many things. God is so good to us. So why should I give? Because I have been overflowed with the gifts from God. Verse 7 in particular points that out. We can go back to verse 1. Do you wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches in Macedonia? That word gift there again in verse 4. That we would receive the gift the Macedonians wanted to take and give that gift. So they too in verse 7 have abounded in this grace. And he wants them to continue to abound in the giving. Secondly, why should I give? Well, because I've been made rich. Believer, Christ came not simply to make you rich, but to allow you to take those riches and give to others. We often don't think of ourselves, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. There are some people here that I have the gift of giving. Really, that's a part of one of the wonderful graces of God, where that's their gift to the church, to the Lord's work. I would say at least that's something that God has and it continues to work in my own life. I don't know that I'm naturally generous. I probably, you know, hoard things to myself, and I've had to grow and learn in all those things. But some of our problem is we consider ourselves. We don't consider ourselves rich. And we too often tie who what we view ourselves as is to our actual economic standing in this world. And that's an utterly wrong way to view ourselves. It doesn't matter whether I have $1 million or not. It really doesn't matter for eternity. What matters is how I use what God has given me for His glory. And what has God given me? If all I have is salvation in Jesus Christ, I am rich indeed. That's verse 9. I can't better explain it than what Paul says. Now, I've told you this before, and if you maybe wrote it down in your Bible before, but let me give you the Anderson translation, okay, of verse 9. That for your sakes, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, all right? That for your sakes, He became poor, rich though He was. You see, there was a willful, determined God's will decision by God and His Son Jesus Christ that He became poor, though He was rich. He was God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, He put it all here. He made it. It's all His. Okay, I can't express it any other way. He is rich, and He decided to become poor. Why? So that's the rest of the Anderson translation. So that you, by, and then if you would put it this way, the word His, by His poverty, and capitalize His. The Greek here emphasizes that point. By His poverty. What's He describing? What is Paul trying to describe here? Ultimately, it comes to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is where it comes. Not only did He become man, how poor was that? But then He died. One of the worst deaths that a man could suffer. He became poor. His poverty. The means by which we are saved and redeemed, His poverty. What's that happened to us? That you, by His poverty, might be rich. In Christ, in the gift of salvation, I am rich. And shame on me if I do not follow His wonderful supreme example and share the wealth that I've been given. Why do we need to tell others about Jesus Christ? Well, multiple reasons. There is a duty there. But because I'm rich, I enjoy the blessings of salvation every day. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness to me. I have His Spirit that lives within, that provides wisdom, peace, direction, encouragement, hope. Those are all riches. Riches that I can share. That, by the way, this is one of the wonderful things about spiritual riches. When you give your riches away, guess what happens? You don't run out. Isn't that wonderful? When I share the joys of my salvation, the wealth of God's encouragement to me, this is 2 Corinthians, I'm comforted by God and I share that comfort. Guess what happens? I don't lose any of what I've been given. That's the wonderful eternality of our salvation. Based on the infinite God, His supplies will never run out. All right, can I have just a little bit of fun on the side here? Because God made this universe and God's infinite, do you think our resources will ever run out until God says it's done? Anyways, okay, just a little aside there, just so you know. Okay. What joy! So let us share. Let us, this season in particular, be givers. Take what God has given you. We've all been given something a little different, haven't we? Measured in different ways, different gifts and talents and abilities, different finances, different abilities. You know, some of you folks, please don't share your cooking. Okay, anyway. But some of you, please do. All right, you don't want my cooking. All right, I'm not going to do that. I don't ask me to bake some cookies for you. You wouldn't probably like them, okay? Unless I follow the recipe real well. Anyway, okay, you understand. But by God's grace, I can give you God's word, and I better do that because God has given it to me to give to you. Does that make sense? So let us in this season, believers, consider, what can I give? Because that's the heart and character of my wonderful Lord. He's made me rich. I am rich indeed. May I share that wealth, because I'll never lose it anyway. What a wonderful God we have. May we, this season, be givers. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. You've made us rich. You've demonstrated your grace to us in abounding in so many things, not just financially, not just physically, but in spiritual wealth. And so, Father, help us to follow the example of you and your Son. Christ was willing to become poor, though he was rich, that we, through his poverty, might be rich. Lord, I pray for a couple of things today. There's one here today without Christ, and they have not experienced the richness of salvation. May today they claim that wonderful wealth and turn their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. For those of us that have come to know you, and what an amazing thought that you loved us and you've allowed us to into your family. We, by simple faith, have trusted you. Lord, help us to follow the character of our Father. Numerous ways that we can give. We can take the grace that's been given us in whatever form or fashion and share it. Lord, help us to do that this year. May we not be stingy with the wonderful, abundant spiritual wealth that you've given us and its demonstrated growth in our own life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Believer, has your heart been convicted today? Have you been stingy with what God has given you? Maybe today you say, Pastor, would you pray with me? I want this season to be a season that demonstrates in my own life what was demonstrated many years ago when Christ came to earth, when God gave his Son. I want to be a giver too. Would you pray that God would help me to be an abundant giver like he was to me? Anyone that says, that's my need tonight, or this morning, Pastor, pray for me. Anyone raise their hand and say, that's me. Please pray for me. I want to be abundant. Yes. Amen. Amen. Be a giver. Are you here today without Christ? You don't have the riches of his grace. Don't know for sure of your eternity. He loves you. That's why he died for you. He is our only hope and our only way. Would you trust him today? Maybe today you say, Pastor, that's my need today. I need to accept Christ as my only Savior from sin. I want that redemption. I would love to have his wealth. Can I pray for you today? Maybe quietly raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's my need today. Please pray for me. Amen and all. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your kindness and grace to us in so many ways. Help us, Father, to be givers. Thank you for the work that you've done in my life and continue to do to cause me to be generous and understand that you've given me far more than I ever deserve or own or understand. Lord, help each of us to, with joy, be givers. I pray that if there's one here today without the Savior, that you would draw them to yourself. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Believer, maybe you need to come and spend some time with your Lord. It may be that you just need to stop and consider, Lord, what do you want me to give through this season? What can I do to demonstrate your grace to me? How can I be gracious in other ways? Maybe this is an appropriate time to consider during the invitation service what I can do to give. And if you need to come and spend some time in prayer, then come. If you need some encouragement, say, I need some help. I need some maybe instructions on how this works out, pans out in my life. Well, come catch my hand. I'd be happy to have someone step aside and show, just be an encouragement to you along those lines. If you're here today without Christ, oh, please come. You'd rejoice to let you have the wonderful gift of salvation. So as our pianist plays, we're quietly humming along, God's working your heart, you respond.